As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Welcome back to the Andy Staples Show and Friends podcast feed, the flagship college football podcast at The Athletic. Thank you for joining us. I'm Sam Kahn, senior college football writer for The Athletic, also known as a textbook, joined as always by my great friend and colleague Max Olson, national college football writer for The Athletic and our expert on everything from the transfer portal, realignment, to stop rate. Please tell me stop rate's coming soon, Max. We're almost
stop rate's
we're in
coming
October.
Next week, baby. Stop rate's ready.
I need
a little preview. Should we give the listener a little preview?
Let's you're allowed to, let's go right into some stop rate data, man.
Who do you think is number one in stop rate right now, nationally?
Gosh,
you will not be able to guess. Well, you should guess because they're good, but
it's not Georgia. Is it Georgia?
No, it's not Georgia. Georgia's not in the top 10.
Georgia's not in the top 10. Wow. Is it Kansas? No, kid. No, they've given up a lot of points.
No, they are not. It's not Oklahoma. I can tell you, it's definitely not Oklahoma.
I know for sure it's not Oklahoma. Who do we got?
The Golden Gophers of Minnesota.
Minnesota. Wow.
Number two. How about it? Here's a wild one. Okay. So number there's a lot of Big Ten in the top 10. Number five, Penn State. Number four, Alabama. Number three, Michigan. Number two, the new guys in town, James Madison, is number two in stop rate right now.
JMU, what is up? Look at that. That is terrific. So
there you go, stop rate. There's a little teaser for everybody. We'll have that out next week.
Love to see it. Love to see it. Well, appreciate that little teaser. We got a great show today. Kansas quarterback Jalen Daniel joins the show to talk about the 5-0 Jayhawks. Big game for them this weekend against TCU. And plenty of other big games and topics to discuss, but Max, how are you doing as we enter week six?
I'm good. It is a little, well, it's not upsetting, because we're fortunate to get to do what we get to do, but, you know, I had my Red River trip booked, and on Sunday, we came to our senses, and I am going to Lawrence, Kansas this weekend, baby.
That is the discussion that I did not think we would be having coming to the season. You and I on Sunday morning trying to figure out, hey, is one of us going to Lawrence, Kansas for TCU in Kansas?
I know. Yeah, I can't wait. It's weird. I've been to Lawrence many times. I've not been to a game at KU ever. And part of that was just being based down in Texas and mostly covering games in that state when I was with my prior employer. But, so now I'm going to go. My first Kansas football game is like the most optimal setting of all time to go watch Kansas football. So, I don't really have like the past empty stadiums to really compare it to. But I can't wait. It's going to be so cool. I'm glad that College Game Day is going there and giving them the love that they deserve. And man, story of the season.
It is. I'm excited for them. Excited for you. That's going to be a fun trip. And
dude, do you realize
that experience?
They have a chance, and it's going to be a really tough game. And I'm looking forward to getting into it. Kansas has a chance to be the first Big 12 team to clinch bowl eligibility.
Yeah, that's wild.
You should have been able to get like 1,000 to 1, 100,000 to 1 on that.
a million to 1 on that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
to be not just to clinch bowl eligibility, but to be the first team to do it.
Yes.
So
it's unbelievable. What a time to be alive. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. I'm excited. We got a packed weekend. So of course, as we know, I'm going to Red River. So we're recording this on Thursday afternoon. I'm heading down on Friday morning to get into town and get settled in before everything pops off Saturday morning. Not looking forward to having to pay off the bet of having to eat pickle pizza. So you won't be there to witness it, but I guess I'll have to.
We could have picked grosser things there. I mean, it's not going to be that
bad.
We
could have. Yeah, I'm not going to drink a bottle of
on that pizza.
I'm not going to drink a bottle of Bijan Mustardson like Andy did.
Like so. I would think like the pickled beers and stuff would be grosser to me.
I did see something yesterday on the state fair list that they have a Fruity Pebble and shrimp po' boy. I think it is. It was something. They had a weird Wednesday on the State Fair of Texas Twitter account, and I was just like, "Wow, that
those
sounds
two things
very
have never
odd.
Met before." Wow,
no. So
that's that part I'm a little jealous of. I do love abusing my body at the State Fair of Texas, and you know, we'll have to try to find a corny dog somewhere in Lawrence.
Yeah, no kidding. Speaking of which, breaking news, you can get Bijan Mustardson with your Fletcher's Corny Dog on Saturday morning at the State Fair. So I was thinking about that, and I saw that
dude went out and got like the best marketing people he could possibly find for his junior year.
Dude, he had a mascot walking around DKR for the West Virginia game.
No, he didn't.
It says Mustardson on the back.
No way.
Yes, he's got a mascot, and we asked him on Monday, Bijan Robinson, is the mascot going to be there at the state fair? And he said, yes, he will be. The mascot will be there. So,
wow.
He has got his own. That is an NIL dream right there, to have your own mascot.
Do you think that the margins on Gourmet Mustard are pretty good?
I would think so,
right?
Yeah. It's got to be, because, I mean, how much does it take to produce that?
I'm trying to like stump you with how mustard is made.
I know. I'm like, this is not what I thought we were going into. As I'm looking at the list of other things, it was Fruity Pebble Shrimp Po' Boy, smoky bacon margarita.
Uh huh. Yeah.
Does that sound interesting?
I think
fried alligator basket.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fried butter, classic. Armadillo eggs. Those were all amongst the things.
I always liked the fried Snickers. That would be the one for me after the game. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get one of those.
Dog for breakfast. Yeah, I'll get me a fried Snickers. I'll do a fried Snickers after. Do corny dog before.
That's the way Snickers to go. After. Yes. Yeah. And I was like, I don't know if they still do this. They used to do Rudy's in the press box, which I like a press box Rudy's.
They did. You know, I can't remember what they served us last year. I think that sounds about right.
Okay.
But nothing wrong with Rudy barbecue.
So. Nothing wrong. No. But, no, here in Lincoln, Nebraska, Rudy's barbecue would probably be, you know, by far the best barbecue place in town. You know, it's all relative.
No kidding.
It is. How are you feeling about Red River, man?
I think it's going to be really interesting because obviously we've seen Oklahoma has not led a Big 12 game yet. They're two games in, 0-2, lost to K-State, lost to TCU, and they have not led a single second. Of course, we know Dylan Gabriel's banged up with a concussion.
Mm-hmm.
Word trickling out of Austin this Thursday afternoon that Quinn Ewers is expected to start. It kind of lines up with everything we'd heard. Bruce Feldman said on the Audible on Wednesday that everything early in the week was pointing to Quinn being able to play, and the original diagnosis that he'd had was that they were hopeful that he'd be back for Red River. Steve Sarkisian, when we talked to him on Thursday morning, he said they're healthier than they've been at quarterback in a month, both Hudson Card and Quinn Ewers, and he's looking forward to having both available on Saturday afternoon. So
it's funny. I mean, Oklahoma is obviously in much worse shape there. But I don't know. Do you, based on watching Card, do you feel like, how much of a gamble do you think that is to go with Ewers?
I don't think it is because if the worst comes to worst and Quinn struggles or Quinn reaggravates an injury, anything of that sort, then you've got a guy who is really coming off his career game. He threw for over 300 yards. He's thrown for 6 touchdowns and 1 interception in his last few performances. Hudson is starting to really come into his own as a player. And I think most importantly, they know what he is and they know what he isn't. And I think they've started to be able to adjust to what he isn't, which he's not the same deep ball thrower that Quinn Ewers is, but he is able to manage the game. He is able to hit a lot of short and intermediate throws, and he can take off and get you first downs running the ball, even with his injured ankle. And I've been, you know, Christian Jones, the right tackle, was telling me, he goes, he's earned a ton of respect from his teammates for the way he's handled these last few weeks. So I think you're fine with Quinn because that his downfield passing ability gives you the higher ceiling as an offense.
And I think strategically you should do some of the same stuff with Quinn, right? You should make it easy on him in a big environment like this. Can you get him rolling with some easier throws and do some of the stuff they did with Card last week?
You would think so. And the thing is that's one good thing is that even though Quinn Ewers got hurt, he did get to play in that Alabama game. He got a little bit of that big game atmosphere and that experience. A quarter of it. And now Red River is a totally different deal, but you were there, Max. Quinn didn't look like the moment was too big for him in that instance, did it?
No, I don't think so. Now, the Oklahoma side of it, holy moly, man. Like,
who are they playing?
well, and that's, I mean, and then who's on, you know, who's going to get some stops on defense? I mean,
that is probably more important than anything. Yeah,
it is.
That is more important.
Not to downplay. I mean, I think Oklahoma's in big trouble, obviously, at quarterback. And that was, you know, when I was doing their state of the program this summer and you kind of went through, you know, the breakdown of all the players they lost and all the players they added out of the portal and kind of where the roster was at. That was the one glaring one. And they knew it during the spring and they knew it during the summer. They didn't have anyone behind Dylan Gabriel, and they brought in Davis Belville from Pitt. I don't think he's really shown very much so far in the chances he's had. You've got General Booty. You've got a true freshman, Nick Evers. Like, what do they do to manufacture some points in this game? If we're going to make the assumption that Dylan Gabriel, can't or you know, is not quite ready to play in this game. I mean, what do you do there? Wildcat?
Yeah, you may have to do some Wildcat. You may have to get pretty creative. Do you have any other skill players on your offense that are able to throw the football? Maybe some trick plays. I don't know. And the thing is that makes it difficult is that Jeff Lebby's offense is so dictated on tempo. Yeah. So you need somebody who can operate it quickly. And the flip side to that is if you have somebody who is ineffective and you're throwing three incomplete passes, then your defense is coming back on the field after not burning much time. And so
right.
It's one thing to go high tempo, but it's another to do it without actually producing. So,
but the problem is too that Dylan Gabriel was knocked out of that game against TCU, obviously a brutal hit. If he had not been knocked out of that game, TCU still would have won.
Yes,
like I don't think Oklahoma was putting something together last Saturday. I think that defense is just looking really confused and was busting way too much on big plays, getting killed in the run game. Like the response by Brent Venables and Ted Roof this week, it's going to be fascinating because obviously it's more complicated than just, I mean, it's not a defense that's totally lacking in talent. They've got a lot to clean up and simplify this week against a guy that's going to just try and score 70 on him.
If you're Xavier Worthy, you're looking at your chops this week.
Yeah.
If you're Jordan Whittington, you're looking at your chops this week after seeing some of those guys running across the field.
If you're the mustard man, you're trying to go win the Heisman this week.
No kidding. And shoot, I mean, he had a dang near Heisman-worthy performance. Well, him and Worthy both. Worthy tore up.
Worthy was unreal
this defense.
Year. Yeah.
And Bijan made some of those plays that really make you understand why he's mentioned in that breath, why he's a potential first-round prospect. That run where he kind of ran to the right, cut it back, went across the field. This is a game where those guys can really eat, potentially, if OU does not shore it up. Now, another sign of the fact that OU is down is this is the first time Texas is favored. The line was at 7 to start Thursday, and then as the Quinn Ewers news came out, started to move. I think it was the last time I checked, it was around 9.5.
It probably should be double digits if Dylan Gabriel's not playing, right?
And if Gabriel's
like by
out,
kickoff, you think it'll be double digits, right?
You would think.
Yeah.
You would think. And so, but this is the first time Texas has favored since 2009, and that's with an OU team that's beat them four straight times.
The crazy thing is, Like, I don't know. It's almost, this game sets up so well for Texas that it almost makes you a little bit nervous. Like, I was listening to, shout out to the Sooner Scoop guys. I listened to their post-game podcast after the TCU game because I'm just sick like that. I just kind of, you know, it's the same as pulling up a message board on a Saturday night and seeing, you know, after a team lost and seeing what their people are saying. I wanted to hear the unfiltered reaction, and it was, you know, just the most sky is falling stuff you've ever heard, and you get it after watching that game. But it's like, you know, I don't think Oklahoma's going 3-9 this year. But they were just so awful last week, and to a lesser extent against K-State, but K-State still, you know, beat them up pretty good. It feels like it's like too easy for Texas, and that makes me almost want to swing the other way. You know what I mean? Where it's like, I think back to 2015 when I was covering Texas more. Charlie Strong's second year, Texas started 1-4, and the week before Red River, you remember this, Sam? They went to Fort Worth and they lost 50-7.
They got pasted,
murdered in that game, and I remember
they had lost three in a row, right? They were coming off three game losing streak.
Yeah. That's the year they lose to Notre Dame and Cal and all that. Yeah. And I just remember thinking all week long, like, Texas is going to get murdered in this game. And what happened? Texas somehow figured out a way with Jerod Hearn and Deontay Foreman and their defense to stop Baker Mayfield and win 24-17. And I'm not saying Oklahoma's going to do that this week, but I'm just like feeling a little bit suspicious. I don't know about you.
This is the game. This is that game where that can happen. Heck, a couple
like
years
Texas
ago in
is
2020.
Also like really feeling themselves off the West Virginia game, I'm sure.
Yeah. That this is the 2 years ago in 2020, Oklahoma, I believe, lost two in a row, but coming into Red River. They lost to Iowa State and K-State in back-to-back weeks. And then went and beat Texas in four overtimes.
Yep.
In 2017, OU lost to Iowa State before coming into that game and beat Texas. So there is precedent for a wounded team
but
in this
also,
series to come
I'm,
in and
I'm
win.
The sucker who watched Oklahoma come here to Lincoln and watched that beat down for four quarters. And I said, Oklahoma looks for real, you know? And then the next 2 weeks, you know, made me look like a fool. And so it's like, I don't know, maybe I'm getting too high, too low here, but like, I don't, it's like, is Oklahoma was definitely extremely bad against TCU, but like, are they, you know, do you expect it to swing back kind of the other way a little bit this week?
I think you'll see some fight.
Without Gabriel, there's just no way.
I think you'll see some fight for sure, because that's just how this goes in this series. And I expect the unexpected in Red River, but to me, I think Texas is going to win this game, and I think they should. Now, here's my question for you, and I'm writing about this for TheAthletic.com on Friday, but who do you think needs this game more, Texas or OU?
Texas.
Agreed.
Yeah, that'd be agreed. That'd be a pretty bad look.
The reason I say that is because let's look at the Steve Sarkisian era. They're 8-9 so far in the Stark era. They did a lot of roster overhaul, a lot of changes. You know, they got Quinn Ewers. You've got your starting quarterback. Looks like he's going to be able to go. OU's may not be able to. This is a team that's playing really poorly. Texas can kind of sort of throw the knockout punch to OU in terms of the Big 12 race, because if OU loses, they'll be 0-3 in the Big 12. And that's going to be pretty much do it. And if you're Texas, you're 2-1, then you got Iowa State the week after, and you put yourself in a really good position in this conference race. But more importantly, they're 1-6 away from DKR in the Sark era. And if you don't go and close this team out, and you don't land this blow, to me, it's going to make the fan base wonder, when is that progress that you've said that you've made all offseason actually going to show up in the win column in a real way?
Yeah, and you know, let's not forget last year. I mean, you played about as perfect a first half as you can, you know, against Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. And you gave it all away. So
yeah,
I'm not just pointing that to say that they're highly motivated this week, but you know, it's crucial that they figure out how to finish one of these.
I agree wholeheartedly, and I don't think it's necessarily going to be a reason to panic if they lose, so to speak. But it certainly does raise your eyebrows and make you wonder, like, when is all this offseason work that you made and the progress that you say you've made going to manifest itself? Because this is a game that if you're Texas, you should win this game. You should go in there and deliver that knockout blow to OU in this scenario with you are a little bit more full strength than they are. They're down. They're struggling. You came off a really good performance at home against West Virginia. Yes, they lost a couple weeks ago to Texas Tech, but there were some different circumstances in that one. And if you're that resilient, mentally tough team that Sark says they are, then this is the chance to show that. This is the chance to go in there and do that and put this one to bed and handle it like a winning team would. And you obviously don't want to be 1-2 in Big 12 play at this point, in the midpoint of the season, because this conference race is wide open. And while you probably can recover, it's going to be really, really hard if you don't get this one.
Man, why are we spending so much time on these unranked teams? What are we doing? You know, that's probably what the listener's thinking.
Yeah, no kidding. Speaking of which, one aside I wanted to mention was somebody asked Sark about, I think it was our good friend Cedric Golden, the Austin American Statesman, asked him about walking the fine line between being emotional and energized but not getting too hype. And Sark referenced the movie Shooter, which you're a fan
quality
of.
Film.
I have not seen it. But
you've not seen
after
it?
A look, I have not seen it. And now after I saw who directed it and saw the trailer, I'm like, maybe I should go watch
this
movie.
Let me give you the pitch on this, Sam. It's Mark Wahlberg as a sniper. That's it. That's the movie. Just hitting sweet sniper shots and getting revenge against dirty politicians.
There you go. The guy who directed Training Day, Antoine Fuqua, was the one who directed this one. And I was like, I love Training Day. So I was like, if I love Training Day, I'm probably going to love this movie. So I need to go find some time to watch this.
Yes, you
do. You mentioned this on Twitter. If you were a head coach, you would spend way too much time picking out what movie you'd want the team to watch on Friday night. So if you are the head coach, what are the movies that you're picking for your team on Friday night to watch?
Yeah, so Brody Miller, our LSU, our terrific LSU reporter, and I were joking about this. He was saying that he would do the same, and he'd be trying to put some Noah Baumbach movies in front of his players and mumblecore stuff, I'm sure. I don't know how they'd respond to that. Do I want my players to see the Royal Tenenbaums or Arrival or all these movies that won't get them ready for a game? Sure, of course I do. I was thinking about this, like, if you're a coach, you know, like, if you're Brent Venables this week, here's what I think you got to do. I wish I could think of, like, the perfect movie for you that'll really fire up the troops here. I feel like you just got to be like, all right, guys, here's a bunch of YouTube clips of lions out in the open field catching and killing their prey. Like, I feel like you guys need to watch that this week and be reminded of, like, how to go be an alpha out in the open field and get some kills.
You're going the old school National Geographic route.
I would
route.
Just go Nat Geo documentaries and just here's a super cut of animals attacking animals. What do you think?
With the monotone narration in the background of the kill and the
you throw in like some metal music over it or something like that. Yeah. That's what I'm doing for my pump up movie on Friday night. What do you got?
The first movie that popped in my head for this scenario is The Departed, just because it is inherently violent from start to finish.
We love that movie.
I love that movie. It's one of my all-time favorites. And how could you not be hype after hearing Dropkick Murphys with Leo doing his exercise in prison? Like, it's come on, man. There's something primal about that movie that I feel like I'd be ready to go fight after that movie. And this is a game that you need to fight, man. This is a game that you got to go out and throw some punches. So, figuratively,
like,
of course, not literally, but
yeah.
I think I'd be The Departed. But ultimately, if I were a head coach in this situation, I'm choosing movies, I would totally choose them on what I wanted to watch, not what I think needs to send a message to the team. It's Friday night. I'm not trying to send a message to the team. You guys kick back, relax, be calm. We'll get focused in the morning on Saturday morning. I don't need to be trying to deliver subliminal messages on Friday night.
That's my thing. I would spend too much time trying to figure out some perfect message to get through to them. And then I would be way too, being a people pleaser, I would be way too caught up in making sure that, like, all 100 guys really like the movie too. Like, it would really hurt me if it wasn't hitting for them. That would be my problem.
Could you be like, Could you be like Ted Lasso and give like a sad movie and you have to leave the box of tissues for everybody?
You know, that could be like some reverse psychology stuff off of the TCU loss if you're Venables. Yeah, you could try something like that. Yeah.
But yeah.
I'm gonna think on this though. That would be a funny thing to ask coaches, like, because you're right. Like, oftentimes it's just gonna be like, go to the movie theater, see whatever the new Friday mm-hmm. release is. But there's got to be some guys who are like, we watch this when it's time for the big game,
right? Gladiator,
yeah, right. Gladiator, yeah.
You know, that's a great question. That's actually a good story idea.
You know what? How about John Wick? John Wick is, I feel like, any of those John Wick movies, yep. I think, would get me right for a game.
100%. 100%. Could not go wrong with that. So as we move on to some of these others, I have a question for you, Max. Mm-hmm. Who is the best team in the Big 12 today as we sit here heading into week 6?
Do you think it's TCU?
It might be. To me, it's either TCU or Oklahoma State. And that's no disrespect to Kansas, who's been terrific. No. And
I'm not trying to take away from what Oklahoma State just did last weekend at all, because that was a game that will, I think, ultimately end up being extremely consequential in the Big 12 title race.
Yeah. I got to see Oklahoma State up close and personal on Saturday when they beat Baylor.
Yeah, what'd you think?
This is a good team. Spencer Sanders, if he plays like he did Saturday, I think this team is going to be in Arlington in December. Like, I really do believe that. I think defensively they're good enough. You know, the transition from Knowles to Mason seems to be going pretty smooth. Mason Cobb, by the way, linebacker.
Hello.
Packs a punch.
Yeah.
Good Lord. And, of course, they still got, you know, Colin Oliver and Brock Martin. They're still talented on defense. Offensively, they have a variety of threats at receiver. They can beat you downfield. They can beat you over the middle. The one thing is they're going to have to be able to grind it out. But overall, I think this is a really good team. And the fact that they went and got that road win to start mm-hmm. at your conference favorite, and granted, Baylor hasn't necessarily played that way, but Baylor is a good team. That, to me, is a really good leg up. I think I'd give them a slight edge over TCU, but I will say I would like to see how TCU fares this weekend. But, boy, TCU's offense is something else. They have a ton of speed.
Speed all over. Yeah, they do. Yeah. I thought the fourth quarter in Waco was a pretty important one, too, for Derek Mason and his defense. Because that game, the way it was going, you could have seen that coming down to the last few minutes and a lot of, you know, Baylor rallying and a lot of back-and-forth scoring still going on. And for them to pick off Chapin a few times and get some stops, I thought was big to finish a game like that on the road. And you're right. I think Sanders, as much as I, you know, put a lot on him in terms of, you know, saying that he's going to be the guy that decides, you know, how far they go, that was the kind of game that you expect from a four-year starter. You know, that was a really impressive performance.
Yeah, no, he's Mike Gundy even said it afterward that he doesn't feel like Spencer gets enough credit nationally.
Probably not.
I think we've even forgotten when we've talked that he was the first team All Big 12 quarterback last year.
Yeah,
and but that's the key is consistency, because against Baylor last year he threw 7 interceptions in 2 games, and Saturday when he played him again he threw only 1, and he saved him a turnover on a fumble on a ball that popped loose, and he dove in there and sacrificed himself to save a possession. So. But I think they're in really good shape. But TCU, I got to give TCU's, a lot of credit.
Like, the TCU is like, I mean, it's interesting. Like, did you think, long road ahead still? I do feel like you knew they had good talent. You knew that yeah, things had fallen off there over the last 3-4 years, but they weren't totally, you know, missing in terms of what they were doing in recruiting. But did you think that they'd be this good, you know, this quickly?
No, they're definitely ahead of schedule based on that Oklahoma game. And we'll see how this plays out over the next few weeks, but because they've got 3 ranked teams coming up in a row.
Yeah.
But I think, and I wrote this on Wednesday at The Athletic, they've always had talent. They've been number 3 in the Big 12 in the team 247 team talent composite every year since 2017. They've done a good job of, and I think we've even discussed it on our podcast before, watching the frustration of not utilizing Zach Evans last year as much as we thought they should, or Jalen Reagor in past years when he was there, not getting the ball to those guys as much. And last week, I thought you saw them really cut it loose offensively. Max Duggan, by the way, resurrected his career, number one in passer rating in the country.
Incredible. Incredible.
And but Darius Davis, Tay Barber, Quentin Johnston, even Gunnar Henderson, got in on the action. But and Kendre Miller has been terrific as a running back for them, who had a lot of experience behind Zach. But they've never lacked for talent. That's the thing. And I think this new staff, Sonny Dykes and his crew, they have really done a good job of kind of unlocking that potential and just getting out of the way. Just let the guys make plays. They've got a lot of speed. And Sonny, I talked to Sonny. He said our thing was, how do we take advantage of that? Mm-hmm. That is our strength, is our speed. Let's make things as simple as we can schematically while still being able to go play good football and win. But get out of the way and let our speed win. And I think that's a smart strategy for TCU.
Yeah, I think and it also just speaks to experience too, especially on that offense, because – we've seen what Quentin Johnston can do. We've seen what Darius Davis can do, what Tay Barger can do. Those guys have been there in that program a long time. And, you know, people probably didn't watch TCU as much last November after the firing, but, like, Kendre Miller did some really good stuff last season once Zach Evans got hurt, you know. And it's easy to get hung up on who you lost to the portal and stuff, but I think they felt pretty good about Kendre Miller and the guys they had at running back. And, yeah, I mean, when you can average 9 yards a carry, that makes things look good too. It's just so impressive by Garrett Riley. And you know, he probably enjoyed that one a little extra. Probably had a few texts from the fam after the game. But it probably
had a little help.
Yeah. And you know, it does all revolve around Duggan too, who is just really, isn't that cool to see? I mean, and we're talking about it with Sanders too, but like, isn't it cool to see when a guy just really puts it all together? Right. You know, and it's not just on him. Right. It's there's scheme to it, too. And great coaching right now. But like, man, to see that kid really kind of like play his very best football these past few weeks has been awesome.
No, 100%, especially because he had chances to go if he wanted to.
Yeah.
That new staff came in. Sonny Dykes was very honest and open about, we're going to look at options in the portal at quarterback. And they did. They kicked the tires on some guys. Heck, even Quinn Ewers came and visited in the winter before he ended up at Texas. But ultimately, after spring ball, they decided to stand pat. Sonny said, hey, I feel good about Chandler Morris, and I feel good about Max Duggan. Max said he never thought about leaving. He said he decided I want to graduate here. He graduates in December. And then he goes into preseason camp, and Chandler Morris wins the starting job. And Duggan is a guy who – never blinked. He just kept coming out there, kept practicing, kept working, kept being the teammate that he has been the last 3 years. Chandler Morris goes down in the opener against Colorado. Duggan comes in, and lo and behold, now you've got him leading one of the most explosive offenses in the country and playing the best football of his career. It's terrific. And I even talked to Travis Hodgins-Tomlinson, and he said, man, he goes, that guy has earned a ton of our respect for the way he's handled himself. And it's shown us how much we mean to him, but also how much he means to us. And so shout out to Max Duggan, like I said, because he's been terrific this year, and he has gotten better. He's gotten better in the pocket. He's gotten better anticipating throws, throwing his receivers open. And the physical talent that we've seen over the last 3 years, I think, like you said, we're starting to see it all come together for him. So
for sure. Shout out to Max Duggan. Shout out to Cancel Bluffs. do we got to get to KU here, but should we do the low key game of the week?
Let's do low key game of the week at A&M at Alabama, right?
Oh my God. Just think back to the summer, man. And, you know, the back and forth of Saban and Jimbo. What was the Jimbo one about, his deal with the devil and all that stuff?
Yeah. Oh, he said how God did his deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was some fireworks. And now all of a sudden,
and you're just thinking like, and just with the way A&M is setting up, like with the assumption that I didn't think they're a playoff team this year, but you feel like they're maybe a year away or whatever. You felt like that. I mean, legitimately one of the best games of the year this year. Bama.
No, A&M. Without question. And now all of a sudden you've got an offense that looks like a mess. Alabama,
it doesn't obviously just look like a mess. Injury, I think it's confirmed. That is a mess. Yeah.
Yeah. It is a mess. And Alabama, you know, Bryce Young is hurt, but I mean, do you have any doubt that Jalen Milroe is going to be able to go in there and, you know, move the ball downfield?
No.
If they have to. And they got Jahmyr Gibbs, by the way.
Yeah.
Who, if
went
you gave that
200
ball
last week. Yep.
If you gave that guy the ball 20 times a game, I think he'd win the Heisman. Jahmyr Gibbs is the truth.
He is.
But no, it's not. It's not Texas A&M Alabama. It could be Oklahoma, Texas, right?
Because
we've got two
unranked
teams.
you think we're gonna see like a pretty good amount of Connor Wigman this week?
We might. Yeah, Max Johnson's injured, so we'll have to see how long that keeps him out. But Haynes King will probably end up starting, and Jimbo Fisher was asked. I think it was Ari Wasserman was there at the press conference on Monday asking, "Hey, if Connor can go out there and play, and he's ready." And Jimbo said he can go out there and operate the offense. He can go out there and play. So I think a lot of A&M fans would like to see Connor Wigman play, if at all possible, just to give them some glimmer of hope.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what are you going to lose at this point? It's, you know, A&M's not really in the playoff hunt, and I doubt they're going to win this weekend. The spread on that, I haven't checked last, but it was 24, I believe, at one point.
Is it really? That I had not looked
large.
At.
Yeah. So I don't think they're going to – I don't think anybody's expecting them to win. It is 24.5 as we sit here.
Oh, boy.
Now. Alabama is a 24.5 point favorite. So they got to figure something out.
Yeah.
This could be a lot of Devon Achane, I guess, like it was last week against Mississippi State. But my low-key game of the week would be I'm picking Texas Tech at Oklahoma State. That one, as I just talked about Oklahoma State being potentially the best team in the conference right now, Texas Tech is good enough, as we've seen a couple weeks ago when they beat Texas. Their overtime win over Houston, which Houston hasn't turned out. But I think this Tech-Oklahoma State game is going to be really sneaky interesting because Tech has enough firepower offensively to put a scare in this Oklahoma State team. And I don't see Oklahoma State as a team that's going to necessarily go out there and throw up 40 or 50, so to speak. At least not in this situation. But
the way things are right now, if I told you that all of the dogs win, if I told you that Kansas, I'm not talking about A&M, obviously, but if I told you Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas Tech, and Iowa State won this week, like, you wouldn't be that shocked.
No, I don't think so. Not at all. No, that's just the nature of this league.
Yeah.
I think the funny thing about it is I think the shocking one of those results would be to me be Oklahoma.
It would be.
Yeah.
You're right.
I think that would be the most shocking one.
Yeah, that would be the one everyone was just most wrong about, for sure.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My goodness.
So that one is one to keep an eye on. Farmageddon is a good one too.
Farmageddon's sweet. Yep. And so, Iowa State needs this one to bounce back. And we'll see if Adrian Martinez can keep this hot streak going. But he is, man. There's got to be some people out there who took the, like, if you've got like a TCU Big 12 title ticket or a K-State Big 12 title ticket right now, you got to be feeling pretty good.
Absolutely. Yeah. When we were talking
about
the best teams in the league, we didn't really mention K-State, but K-State's 4-1. I think part of the reason is that Tulane loss is kind of,
yeah,
I think we're still trying to make sense of that.
Sure.
But you beat Oklahoma and they beat Texas Tech last week at home. And if you go beat Iowa State this week, you're 2-1 in conference heading into the second half, and then you've got a bye week, then TCU and Oklahoma State coming out of it. So if you win, you're in really good shape going into the bye, and then you come out, and then it's going to be two really, really huge weeks for them to kind of tell us where they are. And now all of a sudden, yep, the November 26th against Kansas is now a lot bigger than we – is that a Big 12 championship play-in game potentially? Are we good?
Oh,
are we
no
ready
doubt
to go that far quite yet?
Yeah, there's no doubt. Yeah, I need to just get credentialed for all the other Kansas games here going forward, just to play it safe.
Hey, three straight sellouts, home sellouts,
yep,
for Kansas.
I can't wait to see it, man.
By the way,
it's going to be so cool.
Yeah. So that is in other circumstances, if Oklahoma and Texas were a little bit better, if Texas A&M was a little bit better, maybe TCU Kansas would have been low-key game of the week, but it is the game of the week because College Game Day is going there. And
yeah, shoot. I mean, at the start of the season, it probably was like ESPN Plus game of the week, and now it's got College Game Day, you know? Incredible.
Yeah, you're right. So, but it's going to be fun. We're excited to see how it goes. And we talked to Kansas quarterback Jalen Daniels this week about the game. So let's bring him onto the pod.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, we're now joined by Kansas quarterback Jalen Daniels, who is kind enough to make a little time for us. Jalen, is this, you got like 80 more interviews after this or what?
Yeah, about 84 more, you know. It's still got some interviews to go.
You must have told all of your stories by now. I don't know how you have any more juice for the rest of these.
No, there's always some juice left in the tank. You know that.
Well, we appreciate you making a little bit of time for us, man. So how was Saturday? How was this last one? I mean, I want to know, first of all, where were you standing? What were you thinking when Iowa State's trying to kick the game-winning field goal?
So I was on one of the heated benches, or heated / cooling benches. They do both. So I was standing on that, you know, it was really just sitting there with my teammate, and my eyes were just 100% locked in. They posted a video on Twitter about it, and I didn't even know they got that shot, and they were literally right in front of me. So I don't know how I didn't see that camera, but I was just locked in, just looking at them, and he missed that field goal and went wide left, and I was very excited that it happened.
Yeah, what did that game against Iowa State to get to 5-0? What did that one say about your team? I mean, for something, you guys did something you haven't really done all year. You scored 14 points and still yeah. found a way to win.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely say it was a very hard fought game. You know, all respect to Iowa State, their defense, defensively and offensively. I feel like it was a very hard fought game, and you know, football is a game of adversity, and it really comes down to who can handle adversity the most. And you know, our defense was able to come out victorious. They did a great job at the end of that game.
How is just these past couple weeks? I mean, you guys have always wanted to pack the booth, to actually see this happen live, to see that stadium packed with fans and sold out crowd. Like, what's that been like?
Yeah, I mean, back-to-back weeks of packing the booth is absolutely amazing. You know, we like I said earlier, we love to see stuff like that. I mean, we love the amount of support that the Kansas fans are giving us. We just want to keep on going out there and being able to prove to everybody what we're able to do.
Jalen, you've seen your name, I'm sure you've heard your name thrown around in the Heisman Trophy conversation. And I know it's early in the season. There's a lot of football left to be played, but how cool is that idea? Just the fact that your name is being mentioned in that breath.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's definitely a blessing to have that type of notoriety, but like you said, it's still the beginning of the season. There's a long season ahead of us. And so that's just not something that I'm necessarily looking at right now. Specifically, I'm really just worried about, the only statistic I'm really worried about right now is that win loss column. And I feel like we had a great start on it.
You guys having meetings for that yet, though? You getting the campaign going? Are they talking to you about the marketing folks there?
I mean, I'm really leaving that all to them. You know, yeah. They know that I really want to spend most of my time focusing on the next opponent at hand. You know, like we talked about earlier, we don't really have a bye week until later in the season. So, you know, it's just back-to-back games right now. So I'm really just trying to stay focused in the film room and, you know, definitely stay on top of my academics at the same time.
Has there been a bunch of the NIL stuff popping up now too, or has there been a lot of interest kind of hitting your DMs all of a sudden?
Yeah, I'm also forwarding that all to my dad and my mom right now as well. So, you know, I mean, they hit me up on occasion with, you know, with stuff that's coming in, but I'm not really looking at that necessarily either. I'm leaving that all to them right now. And, you know, when it's time to be able to, you know, talk about what they're trying to offer and stuff like that, then my mom and dad will hit me when it's time.
I imagine that's been pretty flattering, though, just to have this many people talking about you and talking about Kansas football. I mean, you guys have been the story of the season in college football right now.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like I said earlier, we love that. We love that type of attention. We love the support. But, you know, we know we're not where we want to be yet. You know, this is still just the beginning for us. And we're just going to keep on going in every week with that 1-0 mentality. We're still chasing that 1-0 each day.
What did you – I mean, I obviously part of that reaction is people being just so surprised that Kansas is able to pull this off the start that you've had in year two under Coach Leipold. But how surprising has this been in some ways to you? As much as you see the process day to day, and you know what you guys are building toward, like to see it kind of start to work this quickly, was that at all surprising to you?
Yeah, not necessarily. I mean, there's a lot of guys on this team who have been here about as long as I've been here on the team. So, and, you know, there's guys who've been here longer and, you know, they've made it this far for a reason. It wasn't talent. You know, we just had to be able to put everything together. You know, Coach Leipold being able to come in and establish the type of culture that he has, you know, has brought us all together. You know, like you've seen in the game Saturday, you know, offense was able to lean on defense. Special teams was able to lean on offense and defense as well. So, you know, I feel like we've just done a great job of bringing everything together. It's no type of division in between the team or anything. There's no little cliques. We're all able to talk to each other.
Jalen, when you chose to go to Kansas, it was not the popular thing to do. This program was not in great shape. And being a guy from California, going to Lawrence, Kansas, what did it take for you to trust in this vision? And obviously you've had some turnover since then, but to take the chance to go to this program and try to make your mark and build it up from there.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely feel like it was all in God's plan. You know, I'm a firm believer in everything is already written. So after multiple conversations with my mom and multiple conversations with God and prayer and everything like that, it definitely made me feel like it was the right choice. And, you know, ever since then, my path definitely had its ups and downs, but that's just life. There's always going to be trials and tribulations that you go through. But, you know, as long as you just keep having faith in God and what he has done and what he has in store for you, you know, nothing can go wrong.
And you, like you said, you've gone through a lot since you've been there and there's been staff changes and things like that. How difficult is it to endure that and wait for the payoff that you guys are getting now? And on the flip side, how sweet is it to now be experiencing some of what you had hoped to when you initially committed?
You know, I mean, I definitely like that we are where we are right now. But like I said, it's something that I definitely envisioned when I was in high school. I mean, I didn't come to KU to just keep on going on the projections that were on our names and everything like that. I wanted to be able to, you know, help be able to turn around the program. And, you know, after multiple conversations with guys who were in my class and guys who were already here, I felt like they had those same intentions. It wasn't the intention of, all right, we're going to go out here Saturday and we're just going to try to give it our all. You know, I mean, there's a lot of guys who came from winning programs that are in my class, and, you know, to be able to come here and, you know, be able to want to help turn around the program, it just means everything.
Jalen, you're operating this Kansas offense with a ton of confidence right now, but it's so fun to watch week to week. How fun has it just been to operate and to see all the new wrinkles you guys have thrown in this year, and to have Jason Bean line up next to you and kind of throw stuff out there every week that people don't see coming?
Yeah, I mean, it's beautiful. I mean, I definitely feel like we do a great job of spreading the ball around. You know, it's hard to tell who's going to have the ball because there's so many people who've had receptions, who've had rushes this year. I mean, we gotten Jason Bean on the field to be able to make a lot of great plays with the plays that he's been in with. So, I mean, that's all up to him. I love being on the field with Jason. And he already knows that me and him have 100% confidence in whatever we're doing, you know, even in practice. We're always going to 100% have each other's back. But, you know, getting back to the offense, I feel like we do a great job of, you know, just being able to distribute the ball to everybody. So it's hard for a defense to try to lock down one area because it's not one area that we're just focusing on.
Well, for sure. And this is, I think this is probably the first game. I don't know. Do you feel like you saw a little bit of an adjustment in terms of a defense that kind of had some answers for you a little bit? Like, was it good to kind of go through the challenge of what Iowa State gave you?
Yeah, I mean, definitely, you know, handling adversity is something that you want to go through. I mean, this is one of the first times this year that our offense handled this type of adversity. So, you know, we're definitely going to go back into the film room. You know, we're in the film room all day today, and it's just stuff that we're going to have to clean up. It's little things that we need to clean up.
How much do you pride yourself just on your preparation, especially, you know, in season, in the week from the time that game's over on Saturday to the next one?
I mean, I spend most of my time preparing for the next opponent because there's nothing else to worry about. You know, after that game's over, you're worried about the next opponent. You can't worry about past mistakes that you made. You can't worry about past great things that you've done because you're either going to get too high on yourself or you're going to get too low on yourself. And, you know, being an athlete, you have to be able to find that median ground, because if you're too high on yourself, then you're going to expect yourself not to mess up. And when you do mess up, you're going to get into a mental state. Then it's just going to be bad for yourself. You're just going to keep on going downhill from there. But if you're too low on yourself, then you're not going to be able to play confidently. And if you're not playing confidently, then you're not going to be able to play to the best of your abilities.
For sure. When I was talking with Coach Leipold a couple weeks ago, he mentioned he's always seen you in there putting in work. He said you were trying to find a place closer to the facility so you could just be in there at odd hours. Did you end up finding somewhere closer to live there?
Yeah, so I'm currently in a lease right now, so I'm not able to move yet. But yeah, I definitely did tell him that I plan on moving closer to the facility.
You want
to
move it next door? Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely never realized how far away I lived. I didn't realize how far away I lived until when we moved into this morning program. I had to be up at this time and, you know, just get here every single morning. That drive just gets longer and longer every morning.
Yeah. How, are you a morning person?
Say it again.
Are you a morning person?
I was not a morning person before I got to college. I'll tell you that much. I mean, I was a morning person because I was on the game probably at 1 a.m. when I was in high school.
Well, then to take all the work you put in and then combine that with being in person again in classes, how's that been?
I mean, it's definitely been, you know, a task at hand. You know, it's definitely, it comes with its ups and downs, you know, it's stuff that you have to be able to balance out. But I definitely feel like I've done a pretty good job of being able to find, you know, time when I have to do this, when I have to do that. And it really just comes down to being able to, you know, schedule yourself properly, you know, put it on your calendar, put it on your phone if you have to do this at a specific time and everything like that.
Jalen, when it comes to how far this team has come, where did you feel like you started to see that buy-in and that belief? What was it last year when you guys, you know, came that close to beating Oklahoma? Was it the win over Texas? What at what point did you start to say, hey, this thing is working and we're really making progress as a program?
You know, a lot of people like to think that the turnarounds happen in these close games or these certain games or everything like that. But when you're inside this building every single day, you start to immediately see a difference between when Leipold wasn't here and when he was. So for me, I'd say it was the summer of when he got here, you know, to be able to see all these different players who are now buying into the program 100%, you know, going through the levels of commitment, you know, treating everything like it's our job, because technically as a we are college students, but we have to treat this football thing like it's our job, especially if this is something that we want to be able to do at the next level. You know, it's no longer just fun and games like it was in high school. You have to be able to manage yourself properly. You're going to school as well, but you have to be able to manage your football, you know, your football task at hand as well.
What you mentioned this, the difference when Lance Leipold comes in and takes over Kansas, what has made him, in just in your observation, just being around him and this staff, what has made Coach Leipold such a difference maker for this program?
How genuine he is and how consistent he is with what he does. You know, no matter if we're losing, no matter if we're winning, no matter if we're up 50, no matter if we're down 50, the standard doesn't change. You know, even if we win, if we win a game by 50, we're going to come into and do the same thing that we did to prepare for that game last week. If we lose by 50, we're going to come in that Monday and do the same exact thing that we did last week. And I feel like being consistent with what we do on the daily basis allows us to be able to go out there and play consistently.
For sure. You know, there are times last year when you had to have hard conversations with him about kind of what their plan is for you and how to approach last year and all that. At what point did you kind of feel like, yeah, this is a coach I can trust?
Probably at the beginning of the year when he told me that I was going to redshirt, you know, because me being a true freshman starting quarterback and him telling me that there was stuff that I needed to be able to work on. And I knew that there was stuff that I needed to be able to work on, but him telling me specifically the little things that I need to be able to do to be able to, you know, help this team become better. It allowed me to be able to work on certain things, you know, because being able to be told specifically what you have to do better allows me to be able to grow in those certain areas. So I feel like him and Coach Z just allowing me to be able to better myself off that red shirt just allowed me to trust him more.
Jalen, when you think about how far this program has come, and you're a veteran, you've got a lot of veterans on this team who've been through a lot. How gratifying is this moment? I know it's not over, the journey's not over, but you got College Game Day coming. There's all kinds of hype. You guys have sold out the home games. How gratifying is this moment right now, especially for guys who have been through some of the tough times?
Yeah, I mean, it's beautiful. Like I said, it's beautiful. We love the amount of attention that's coming out to our program. You know, it feels great to finally be recognized for all the amount of work that we've been putting in. But like you said, like we were talking about earlier, it is still young. You know, there's still a lot of stuff that there's a lot of room for improvement for us. And, you know, to be able to come off to this start with the little mistakes that we made in game just shows us that we're able to be better. You know, we've done good, but the fact that we still haven't even reached our ceiling yet allows us to just keep on going in with that 1% daily mentality.
When you're around these guys like Kenny Logan, who've been through a lot, you know, in their time at Kansas, can you just see the difference on their face, or when y'all are celebrating after these games? Like, some of these guys have endured a lot of losing up to this point.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, to see the amount of excitement that's on Kenny's face on the daily basis, we love to see it. I mean, you know, like you said, there was a lot of stuff that happened in the past in this program, and a lot of the guys who are on this team, you know, went through that. So to be able to see the smiles and happiness on their face after going through all of that stuff and now being where we are today is beautiful.
Now, do you want to put a call out there for tickets this week? I know you got 25 family members out there trying to come to this game. You're still trying to lock down spots for all of them in this, what we assume is going to be a sold out stadium.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I mean, I got 25 plus people in my family coming out this weekend. This is the family game. So you're going to see a whole bunch of people out there with number 6 jerseys. You know, you guys are probably going to see that already. But, you know, I got a lot of family members coming out this game. And, you know, I want to be able to show them a great time in Lawrence. So let's pack the booth. Let's be able to show them how we do it out here in Kansas.
But specifically, Kansas fans, please give Jalen some tickets. Jalen needs tickets this week. it's been awesome to watch, man. It's interesting because you've been gracious enough to do a ton of interviews, and I'm sure you've done, you know, a ton of stuff. I'm sure it's a little bit exhausting at some point, but are you able to kind of sit back a little bit and appreciate this, or are you just kind of stick to the 1% mentality, just kind of keeping this game by game and not trying to step back too much and kind of really think about what you guys have done here so far?
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely taking it game by game. I have to take it game by game, because if you just think about the success that we've had thus far in the season, then you're not worried about the rest of the season. I mean, there's still a lot of season to go. It is. It's a long season. You know, I'm definitely glad that we came out to the start that we've had this year, but it's a long season. We still have a lot to prove. We still have a lot of stuff that we were able to get better at. And, you know, we're just going to keep on focusing on that 1% daily. But after the season is probably when I'll be able to, you know, be able to look back at everything. I'm definitely going to wait till after the year, because at that point, then I'm not thinking too much about certain things. I'm not getting too high and I'm not getting too low. I'm really just looking forward to the future and being able to see what we're able to do from there.
All right. Last thing for you here. You've done a million interviews in the past few weeks. I'm sure you're hearing the same questions all the time. I want to ask you one that you probably haven't asked. Do you have a special skill or talent or anything that people don't know about? Is there something about Jalen Daniels that the people don't know that just hasn't come up yet?
Yeah, that hasn't came up yet. Okay. Okay, I was going to say video gaming and say that I'm the best gamer that's in the nation, but...
In the nation? Okay, what are your games?
Oh, I'm playing Madden. I'm playing Call of Duty. Catch me in Warzone. You can catch me in Madden. I'm never turning down any Madden fades. You can catch me.
We need to set him up with Kyler Murray. Him and Kyler Murray, Call of Duty.
Tell K1 we can get at it. K1 versus JD6. Let's do it.
How's the new Madden? Have you been happy with it?
Say it again.
How's the new Madden, the game? You've been happy with it this year?
Yeah, I mean, definitely, especially with the precision passion. I mean, if you're inaccurate, it's kind of your fault. I mean, the game made it pretty easy to be able to put the ball in the right spot. As long as you're throwing it to the wide open, I mean, to the right receiver, then you should be straight.
Do you create yourself on Madden? Do you go through the whole career as Jalen Daniels?
I have not. I mean, I used to. No, definitely. I used to, especially in those NCAA days. What? Road to Glory? Putting Jalen Daniels on there immediately. I'm playing in high school, going to the green and yellow team, because my two favorite colors, and I'm a Packers fan, and then we're just going to go from there.
And where would you go to college in Road to Glory?
You know, honestly, I think I chose a different one every time. Think I just went with the first pick, second pick, third pick, fourth pick, because, you know, when I was playing NCAA, I was like that NCAA. I'm a gamer, I'm trying to tell you.
Man, and can you picture being in that game next year?
That's going to be amazing to me, honestly. It's crazy just thinking about it, but, you know, it's
we're all going to have to take July off or August off. You know what I mean? Like when the game drops, it's going to be like these coaches are not going to understand how much why y'all are disappearing to go play video games for a month.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'll tell Coach Ken, Coach Leipold, can we just get a month off, Coach? From NCAA? Come on, Leipold, can you play me?
So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what's the overall rating they give you next year?
Oh, yeah. I mean, definitely interesting
what's
to
the
see
speed?
What they're going to rate me at. I, out of everything in the game, that's probably what I want to see the most. I want to see where they put my speed, honestly.
Okay.
Because there's been a lot of talk from people back home where it was just like, all right, now, if they do put you in the game, they're probably going to put you at a 75 speed. And I'm like, wow. I look basketball? Are you serious?
what are you, like 90? Like, what do you think it's got to be at?
You know, honestly, if I'm going to be honest, I need a high 80.
Okay.
I need a high 80. Like, okay. Almost.
Good throw power, good throw 80. Accuracy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, honestly, I feel like I need a high throw power, too. Mm-hmm. I need a high throw power. Everything else, they
what's
can
the highest? What's the highest you've hit on the GPS in game?
Honestly, I'm not sure. Right underneath 21, I believe, though. Right underneath 21.
Oh, that's okay. You're good for a 90 speed then.
Yeah, come on.
Definitely a quarterback.
Oh, yeah. They gotta get you right.
Tell him put me on there. I'm serious. Put me on there.
Well, Jalen Daniels, thank you so much for your time. Appreciate you chopping it up with us on a Monday. And you know, best of luck to you this weekend against TCU and you know, probably one of the biggest games of the year, really, in college football. It's going to be awesome to see Kansas football get this kind of spotlight. And, you know, best of luck to you going forward.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Max. Thank you, Sam. Appreciate you guys for having me.
Well, Max, I got to give you credit. I think you told me when you went to Lawrence to go visit KU a few weeks ago and talk to Jalen Daniels that, hey, man, we got to get on pod because he's pretty awesome. And you know what? I have to say, you are right. Jalen Daniels is pretty damn awesome.
Yeah, yeah, couldn't be a more likable guy, and that's when you talk with Kansas coaches and staffers there. That they all say just the energetic's the word they use. Just the energy he brings in that building to go along with his hard work and just his positivity. It's what you need. It's what you need. You know, it's not a 4-star guy that you need at a place like Kansas to turn everything around. It's just a kid that everyone likes that really busts his ass, and that's what Jalen Daniels is. And it's been cool to see him. Really kind of put it all together this year along with Lance Leipold and the staff. So best of luck to him going forward. The Jalen Daniels, the Heisman hopeful. What a start, man. It's incredible. So
future EA Sports college football cover boy.
Yeah, maybe. So. I wonder if they can put, they probably could do like they probably could do a current player on the cover.
You can now. You should be able to now. Yeah.
That'll be an interesting thing too. Is are they? Do they end up getting deals done to put real likenesses in that game?
Yeah. By the way, now after having that conversation, I'm like super ready to fast forward to July 2023.
So, I gotta buy a new system. I don't know about you.
So I don't think any of the EA Sports, like Madden, is not on a Nintendo Switch, which is what I have. So I would have to probably get a new system too. Which
yeah,
that's a lot of money to drop. To go get like a PS5 or something to go play. But I mean, what am I not going to play the new college football game? I mean, that's what I used to do from 2000 until 2014. Every year would go get Madden and NCAA.
That's what I'm going to do next summer is buy a new console and buy the game. And that's all I need. You know, like I wasn't joking on the pod. Like I'm going to disappear for a month when that comes out. These players are too. People are just going to have to be like, well, they've waited that long. They deserve
you hear
that.
You hear that, college conference commissioners? Please do not do any realignment next summer when the EA Sports college football comes out. Yeah.
Yes, no bullshit on July 30. Okay, we don't have time for that. No,
please. I joke that I'm going to have to move my vacation in May because the stuff keeps happening in June, July every year. So please don't. Please put a moratorium on everything. Let's put a dead period on everything, not just recruiting, everything, just to honor the release of the video game so we can play.
I would cancel media days. I'm not going. I got video games to play.
Man, you don't even really get anything good on media days anymore anyway. I missed Big 12 Media Days this year, and I was like, I didn't really miss that much. Honestly, I went to the Texas High School Coaching Convention, and it was way more fun than Media Days. No offense to Big 12.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's funny. At Media Days, the first day there, I get to sit down with Brett Yormark, and I was chasing a lot of realignment stuff. So I didn't really like get to spend any time around Jalen Daniels or Lance Leipold. I think probably that's just kind of how it always is for Kansas at Media Days. You kind of get snubbed the most, right? So
yeah,
don't feel good about that. These guys are such a cool story, and I'm really appreciative that he and the folks at Kansas could make that possible this week.
No doubt, no doubt. Well, let's do a quick before we let go. Let's count the standings and the run your pool. The Andy Staples Show group.
That rough week I know that groaned. Week. I think it was a rough week for a lot of people last week.
A rough week for everybody, especially us two, though. Max, you went 14-18 mm-hmm. last week.
Mm-hmm. Didn't enjoy that.
No, and I went 15-17, so I didn't do much better. Mm-hmm. We're both under 500. But overall, 119-108, you are tied for 122nd. I think you were 105th last week, so you moved down a little bit.
I did move down, yeah.
And then I'm tied for 29th, 126-101. My record's still good, though, so I feel
it's pretty good. Yeah, it's pretty good. 25 games over at this point in the season, that's a pretty nice number for you.
Yeah, and I checked to make sure if SMU and UCF, which played Wednesday night, was part of this weekend. It was not. So
it was not.
Which no. I watched last night, but did not. Obviously, was worried like, oh, did I miss that pick? But
yeah, you got to make sure you get your picks in before the Friday night thriller that we have this week. Which you seen what that is?
What is the Friday night thriller this week?
Go look it up.
Okay, hold on. If my mouse can work here. This is
the world will be watching.
Audio. That's right. Nebraska at Rutgers. And we also have Houston at Memphis, Colorado State at Nevada, and UNLV at San Jose State.
Okay. All right.
But Nebraska at Rutgers. Yeah, brother, I can promise you, Max, I know you will be watching. You're a Nebraska guy. I am not going to be watching that one. I will be instead watching Houston and Memphis to see if that Houston team that, speaking of teams that look like a mess, mm-hmm. Houston looks like one. I'll be looking to see how they fare at Memphis on Friday night. And then shout out UNLV. UNLV's team that they have been struggling in recent years, but they're 4-1 right now. I actually sat and watched that game last Friday night. I hate to admit this, but part of the reason I watched it was because I wanted to hear Tom Herman's color commentary on CBS Sports Network.
Oh, how was it?
He was actually pretty good. I got to give it to him. Like he's pretty good about explaining the schemes and not being too obtuse or anything like that. So I thought he was pretty solid. So
good.
You know, he came off pretty well. But that
let's get him on the pod.
Let's get Tom Herman on the pod. that would be fantastic. But that's all for this week, guys. Thank you for listening. Make sure you follow the Andy Staples Show and Friends feed on Apple Podcasts. You can subscribe to the Andy Staples Show on YouTube. Andy and Ari Wasserman regularly do their show live from there. They'll do their picks edition with Nicole Auerbach also. And special guest interviews can be found there. Our Jalen Daniels interview that we did this week is posted on the YouTube channel, so please do check that out. Thanks again for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.